you here. Glad that you are back. I trust that you've had a good afternoon in the Lord. And good to have visitors with us again. We have several visitors with us this evening in our evening service, so I trust that you have found yourself at home. And if you need anything at all, please let us know. We'll be glad to help you with anything we can. There is a ring that has been lost. It is up here. It's a purple heart. Looks like a purple heart ring. Worth about $6,000. Brother Hector. I don't know who it belongs to, but it looks like it's a pretty nice ring there. And if it's yours, please feel free to claim it. We'll be in the book of Mark this evening, Mark chapter 12. We'll continue our studies verse by verse through the book of Mark. We're in verse number 28 tonight, Mark chapter 12, verse number 28. Trust that you found some place to pray today. Today has been declared a national day of prayer. So I trust that you have found some place to get along and pray. And for us, it should be a common thing. I mean, to talk to our Father should be a common thing. But it is good to recognize as a nation corporately that we need to pray and seek the face of God. So if you have not yet, find a place this evening before you go to bed and spend some time in prayer with the Lord and kind of make it a habit. Make it a daily habit. Doesn't hurt sometimes to talk to Him all throughout the day. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Mark 12, 28. We'll read down to verse 34 tonight and just spend a little time looking at these here verses tonight as we continue our study verse by verse through the book of Mark. Mark 12, 28. And one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all the strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, 'Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said unto him, 'Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love Him to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, 'Thou art not far from the kingdom of God.' And no man after that durst ask him any questions." Okay, remember 2 weeks ago, back up in verse number 13, there were certain of the Pharisees and Herodians. So you had the Pharisees and the Herodians. They've asked a question. And then last week in verse 18, then came some of the Sadducees, and they asked him a question. All these questions were to bring about and catch him in some kind of fault at the words. All of these were learned men and educated people of the Scriptures. Now, there's this one scribe that came. He's having hearing them reason together. And if you just, you know the job of a scribe. A scribe was one that would write down the words of God, transcribe it, and copy the words. And after he made so many mistakes, he would throw it away and he'd start again. He wanted to have a good copy of what he was writing down. But this was not only a scribe as well. If you'll go back to Matthew chapter 22, hold your place there. You have a correlating passage of Scripture in Matthew 22. Matthew 22 gives us more information on this certain character. Matthew 22 and verse 34. Matthew 22 and verse 34, the Bible says there in verse 34, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the greatest great commandment in the law? And it goes on and gives us another portion of the same reading that we just read. So through that study, we find out that this scribe was also a Pharisee, but not only a Pharisee, but he was a lawyer. So very well educated, well learned man of the word, especially of the word of God, being a Pharisee and a scribe and a lawyer as well. But the scribe, he had noticed that the wise answers of Jesus. That would be something that would catch the attention of a lawyer. You know, he's in the business of answering and asking questions. And so here's someone that was approached, namely Jesus was approached with several questions in this passage. And he heard him answer very wisely, so it caught his attention. And he brought about a question of his own. Now, the other ones, as you read through and we looked through the passages, especially back with the Pharisees and the Herodians and the Sadducees, it seems as though they all wanted to catch him in some sort of fault or trap with his words. But this particular one, I don't sense that. I don't sense him coming to him with arrogance or pride that I've got him now. It seems as though he sat back, he listened. You know, it's very wise, dear friend, that we hear the whole entirety of the situation before we give an answer. You know, sometimes it's not always right, and I don't know about you, I'm personally at fault with that sometimes, especially those that are nearest and dearest to me, my wife and my children many times. I've already come to a preconceived idea of what dad or husband thinks it should be, and so I already have my answer squared away. And then, you know, before I know it, I'm speaking and not listening. Have you ever heard the phrase, you cannot hear when your mouth is running? I have that problem sometimes. You know, I told you last week, I read something that's about multitasking, and everybody understands men cannot multitask whatsoever. But I found something that I can do. I can hear you, misunderstand you, all at the same time as a man. And there are one other thing that it said too. Well, I'm pretty good at that one, so we have to be very careful. I don't get the sense that this particular Pharisee, which many times was full of pride and arrogance. You know, in the New Testament where Jesus talked about how their phylacteries and their coat, they would stand out. You remember the story in the New Testament where the one Pharisee was praying and there was a sinner that was begging God humbly with his head bowed. And the Pharisee was smote his chest. I thank God I am not as this one. I don't get that sense here in this reading as we've read through it. There, I think he just sat back and listened. Kind of reminded me of the book of Job. You remember the two friends of Job was always answering back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then all of a sudden, after about seven chapters of that, we found out there was another younger one who just sat and listened. I think his name was Elia, I believe. Could be wrong on that, but we was going through the book of Job. We found that out. He just sat and listened. He said, because you were older and much wiser, I've kept my mouth shut. And he said, I've had my fill. And then he began to answer. He answered kind of like what Jesus said here, verse 34. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, to me, I don't get that sense. Now, of course, I wasn't there. I'm only going through what I see here. But there's some things we need to understand about scribes. Scribes, according to historians, believed and taught that Jews were to keep 613 precepts of the law. They believed that there were 365 negative and 248 positive. I'm assuming what they meant by was thou shalt not, which would be a negative, and then thou shalt, which would be a positive. And so they taught that was what they should do, and that was kind of their way. Here's 613 rules, and we've got to keep all these rules if we're going to stay in line. But there were commandments, and they are commandments still founded in the Word of God and in Scripture. But in verse 29, Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, and he took him back to a verse of Scripture found in Deuteronomy. That little quote there, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And if you would go back to Deuteronomy, you remember last week I told you with the Sadducees and the Pharisees and with the devil himself, you know, Matthew chapter 4, Jesus always made corrections with Scripture. You know, your opinion and my opinion doesn't mean anything when it comes to truth. What matters is the truth of the Word of God. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And so when there is a dispute, the absolute Word of God is the answer. In all the cases that we've seen studying these passages, Jesus would refer them to Scripture. And of course, being a scribe, he was familiar with these portions of Scripture. And he had copied them, no doubt, many, many times, and probably had memorized them. But Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4, the Bible says there in verses 4 and 5, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's exactly where he started. Jesus went right back to here, and he brought out the Word of God from the Old Testament, something that they would be familiar with. In verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now, this in reality, to me, when you have this here portion of Scripture in reality, it is a summary of Exodus chapter number 20, verses 1 through 11. Well, what do you find there, Pastor? You find the first four commandments, what we call the Ten Commandments. This is a summary of that. A person who loves God, as Jesus has taught here in Mark, would have no other God, and they would have make no other graven image, etc. They wouldn't take the Lord's name in vain. This is a summation of the first four commandments, which they really hung on to. You remember the commandments that Moses had carved and out. They were placed into the Ark of the Covenant, and they were inside there. And so they meant a lot to them, negating any other portion of the passage of Scripture. And then Jesus said, the second commandment is like this, and he said, to love your neighbor. Well, that is a summation of the six, the last six, if you study those out and look at them. Most important commandment is a summary of the last six, these two together. And so in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, you find the Ten Commandments there, and you go back and study them on your own and look at them. But Jesus said, these is the greatest of the commandments. Now, if you was to think about it and listen to some people, you would think that the only thing that was involved in the Jewish religion, and actually in Christendom today, is keeping commandments. You hear people talk, well, the Jews, all they did was keep commandments and offer sacrifices. Oh, there was much more than that, dear friend. Way much more than that. And there's the same thing with Christianity today. Christianity is not a set of rules that I can check off will help me to keep my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not what it's all about. What we have is a standard of protection. It keeps me from harm, keeps me from difficult situations. And I have the free liberty As a human, I'm not an angel who just beckons at God's command. I have free liberty to yield and submit myself to those protective bounds. They're not to say, okay, Brother David, Brother Lee, Brother Bernie, those deacons and the pastor, let's get together. Here's the Ten Commandments. Did you keep seven of them today? Oh, no, Pastor, I messed up on two. Well, I'm much better than you because I only messed up on one. That's not what it is. Keeping of the commandments and following law and staying in there does not determine my status as a child of God. What determines my status as a child of God is whether or not I have trusted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And once I do that, it's as if I'm already seated in the heavens. Amen. That's how sure salvation is. Amen. Now, what determines my relationship and my daily fellowship is how much I keep His commandments and follow His Word. I don't know about you, but I love fellowshipping with brothers and sisters in Christ. I love fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ. I love fellowshipping my wife and my children. I have some friends that I enjoy fellowshipping with outside, talking about hobbies and things of that nature. But within all that fellowship, dear friend, there are bounds and boundaries that, you can cross. Have you ever been in a conversation and maybe you said something that you thought was a joke or you thought that was funny, and then all of a sudden the mood changed in the room? Like, uh-oh, that didn't go over too well. What I thought was funny, they did not think was funny. Now, here's a good example. And I have to be very careful of this. I didn't mean anything by it. And if I ever see this here young man again. Y'all remember there was a guy that was coming from Pensacola Christian College selling their materials, going back and forth. Back and forth selling their materials. They sit back here, young woman, just got married not too long ago. Hadn't visited probably about six times, going in and out, in and out, in and out. And the last time they came, I said, is that the same wife you was with last time you was here? Ooh, it didn't go over too well. It's kind of like, yeah, y'all got it, didn't you? Sometimes I open mouth and insert foot, right? This is how it works sometimes. It wasn't right, I was wrong, and I thought it was something funny, and it wasn't funny. Not at all. Well, sometimes, there's things that the flesh and the lust of the flesh and the appetite of the flesh and the desire of the flesh says, man, that would be good. That would be interesting. I think I could enjoy this. And then you get off in there and the Holy Spirit of God is kind of quenched, kind of quickened, kind of drawn back. The Holy Spirit of God draws back and the mood changes in the fellowship automatically. Oh, y'all don't have that problem? I tell you, I do. The Holy Spirit of God is real.
Amen.
He lets me know real quick. Well, that's not... What you doing watching that? Boy, are you crazy? That's going to create some appetites that you can't handle. Okay. Let's go back over here. There's more to religion than rules and sacrifices. For instance, let's go to the Word of God. Psalms chapter number 51. Psalms 51. And to be quite honest, I'm so thankful there's more to my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, whether or not He checks off the rules that I've kept throughout the day. Because I'd fail miserably. If you ask me right now to name you the 248 positive ones, if that was counting on my whether I slept good tonight, I'd be in big trouble, I'll be honest with you. I'm talking about just the positive ones. Those are supposed to be the ones that, we feel good about doing. I couldn't handle it. I'd stay up all night long. Psalms 51. Psalm 51 and verse number 16. This is what it says. For thou desirest, what does it say? Not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. Listen to what the Lord says. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart of God. Thou wilt not despise. So there's more to this walk with the Lord than keeping commandments and sacrifices. Much more. Go with me, if you would, over to Psalms 141. Psalms 141. I believe that sometimes we fall into the trap of this here keeping rules business, and by the time we fall into this trap of keeping rules, we're discouraged. Psalms 141, verses 1 and 2. Lord, I cried unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry to thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and lifting up the hands as the evening sacrifice. So there's more to religion, more to this relationship, more to our walk with the Lord than X, Y, Z. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. What did they do in the temple? They fired up incense, and that was a pitcher as the smoke went up, as the prayer of the saints. And let the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So sometimes, dear friend, I'll be honest with you, we need to be prostrate, or we need to be upright. We need to be worshiping a holy and righteous God. God, thou art worthy, and thou alone. And just worship with lifted up of hands, as you see there. And then let's go to Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. And verse number 22. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 22. The Bible says there in Jeremiah 7, verse 22, For I speak unto your fathers, for I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning what? Burnt offerings or sacrifices. Verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be what? Well unto you. That's what the Lord asks. Now listen, sacrifices and the law had its place. It had its order in God's work and in God's system. But that wasn't it. That wasn't the sum of it. So don't just think for 1 minute, well, I'll just bring me a fatted calf and offer it, and I'm good for the next year. Well, give me that in modern vernacular. Pastor, we're not offering sacrifice. We don't have no altar where we slay the animal, lay it up here, and this priest sprinkles blood here and there. What are we? We are living sacrifices.
Amen.
And it's more than coming once a week and laying yourself on the altar. It's more than coming once a year and laying yourself on the altar and saying, Here am I, Lord. There's more to this here relationship with God than that. Go with me to Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6 and verse number 6. I believe sometimes we as God's people, the devil has us chasing our rules and thinking if we catch up with our rules, we're like a dog chasing our tail, that we're going to accomplish something. And all we do is sit, spin in circles, spin in circles, spin in circles, spin in circles.
We need to get out of that. Because the Bible tells us in the New Testament we're to press forward. Press toward the mark. And we've got to get chasing the mark, which is a high calling in Christ Jesus. Micah chapter number 6, verse 6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings and with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with the thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Verse 8, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. What's the first and greatest commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, with all thy understanding. And thy neighbor as thyself. Go back to Mark and look what Jesus says. Go back to Mark chapter 12. As he covers this here. Mark chapter 12. Verse 29, Jesus said, and answered him, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He started with it there. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. Remember I told you, in my opinion, this is a summation of the first four in the Ten Commandments. And then the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. In verse 32, And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all thy heart, with all thy understanding, and with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and love his neighbor as itself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifice. And listen to what Jesus said. And then Jesus saw that he answered discreetly and said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And look at the results. And no man after durst ask him any questions. Why? Because Jesus did not give him his opinion. Although it would have been quite all right for Jesus to give his opinion because he is the Word. He gave him the Word of God. He took him back to Deuteronomy. He laid out the Scripture. He showed him what the Bible said. And he erased the blinders of all the 613 different laws and said, this is the summation of these laws. Right here is the summation is found right here in these Scriptures as we looked at them. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse number 22. 1 Samuel 15. And verse number 22. So he affirmed the answer to Jesus, there is but one true God. And he affirmed to Jesus, man's duty is to love. And obedience, dear friend, I'm going to be honest with you, is much better than burnt offerings and sacrifices in the eyes of God. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and hath also rejected thee from being king. That's what he told Saul. Listen, this is much. We've got to get to the point where we understand this. We do not sacrifice by coming to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's not a sacrifice, dear friend. And so, I'll be honest, I've said it. Oh, man, I'm so tired. I drag my bones up to the church and sit there and hear a preacher preach. And man, what a sacrifice it is. What a sacrifice. And the devil's convinced me to come to the house of God, being with fellowship with God's people, and praying. Cease not praying. Always have an attitude of prayer. Come together in corporate prayer. Singing songs, hymns, spiritual songs. That's what we do. Forsaking not the assemblies yourself together, as the manner of some is. We do it. Obeying what? The voice of the Lord. It's not a sacrifice. Don't let the devil convince you. What you have done is been obedient to God's wishes. I don't know about you, but when he said where two or three are gathered here, I'll be in the midst of them. I sure like it being around folks that love the Lord.
Amen.
More than just being with Brother Jim and being Brother Bill and Brother Mike, more than that is when we get together, especially in the work of the Lord and humbleness of the Lord and waiting on the Lord to work, I know the Lord's going to be in the midst of that.
Amen.
And that's what I enjoy. That is what I enjoy. So here's a scribe, here's a Pharisee, here's a lawyer who come to this conclusion. You're right. You're absolutely right. There is one God. Master, you spoke well. You said the truth. It's easy when you are the truth like Jesus is. So love is what we need. And from that point, nobody ask any more questions. Last verse, Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter number 1. And then we're going to spend less than a minute and a half on summing this all up after this verse. Titus chapter number 1, verse number 9. Titus chapter 1, verse number 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by what? Sound doctrine. What's that? Teachings of the word of God. Both to exhort. Praise God, we need exhortation, don't we? And to convince the gainsayers. Would you dare say with me just for a little bit, the last 2 weeks of studies through the book of Mark, we've had nothing but gainsayers approaching Jesus. Then he took the word of God in each situation. He laid out scripture. He gave the principles. He gave the precepts. He showed them what the word of God says. Now at his conclusion, nobody asked any more questions. Nobody asked. So here's the summation. This is what I'm taking. This is what was the moral of the story. My take of the last 3 weeks of looking at this portion of scripture is simply this. I have been, without a shadow of a doubt, part of the Pharisees, part of the Herodians, part of the Sadducees, now like this scribe. I have been there. I brought my plans and laid it before the Lord. Said, Lord, I really want to do this. I really want to have this opportunity. I really want to be doing this. And Lord, I want your blessings upon this. And he showed me scripture like he did to the Herodians. And I come up with some political reason. Why? Because they have a political idea. Lord, it's really good for our country. I'll be a good patriot. I'll be a good citizen. And I give my argument. And then, if that didn't work, I come up with Pharisee of Pharisees. And I give my legal law doctrine reason why, Lord, I really want to do this. And I take and I twist and I turn and I push and I push and push. Then I come up like a Sadducee. Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection on the angels. Then I just start making stuff up. Well, Lord, you know the people will like it. Is that what Samuel did? So Samuel came up there and Saul had done gathered up all the sheep and lamb. Not Samuel, but Saul had gathered up all the sheep and lamb. He had killed everybody but the king and what was told him to do.
kill the king, kill the animals, everything had to go. And he said, well, it'd be much better to offer these as sacrifices. And I saved the king to be a trophy. Samuel said, God told you what to do. And Samuel, being an elderly man at that time, I believe as scripture look at it, he was on up in age, he took care of the king himself. So I've been there. I've come up with some false reasonings. Then I come humbly and say, Lord, didn't work this way, didn't work that way. I tried to trick you on doing this, and you've stuck with it. And the Lord said, you're getting pretty close. You're getting pretty close to the kingdom now, son. And he presents me with the Word of God. He shows me again. The Holy Spirit of God convinced me. And then I have no more argument. I would much rather my Christian walk be like in the first, Lord, I'm really not going to enjoy this, but like Jesus said, nevertheless, thy will be done. Nevertheless, thy will be done. And it's a whole lot easier. But somehow or another, we are so log-headed, stubborn, and bull-headed that we've got to try to convince God what's best for His creation. When He is the Creator. There comes a point that you got to get to this. There's no more questions. Yes, Lord, yes. Let's name that song, Brother Jim. Yes, Lord, yes. That's it? How about let's sing that as we close? What page is that? Do you know what page? Anybody know what page that's on? Yes, Lord, yes. Sorry, that's not even the whole song. What is it? Not the title, no. Y'all singers in here? That's what I told y'all. Y'all follow along in my footsteps. One moment, y'all be in the choir by year's end. Y'all get in the books and start singing. Y'all, it's in the notebook? That's okay. We won't sing it anyway. We won't get the notebook out because we'll be taking too long. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your love, for your mercy, for watch care over us. I thank you, Lord, for the study through the book of Mark. Well, these verse-by-verse studies have really helped me as an individual, helped me as your child. We're not perfect by no means. God has opened my eyes to many things as you, the servant, the great servant, would have us to do and have us to be like. Lord, help us to get to the point where we'd quit arguing with you with religious arguments, political arguments, and just write out falsified arguments, but submit ourselves to the truths of the Word of God and say, Lord, it's settled. It's settled. Doesn't matter what the flesh wants, doesn't matter what this culture wants, doesn't matter, Lord, what this here society says is okay. It is settled in your Word. Lord, I want to be obedient to that. Help me, Lord, in my relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.